If you would like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I did not plan the retreat for the weekend that it was, but I will have to admit to you there was a very small and maybe growing piece of me along the way that was not terribly unhappy about not having to preach after the election. What an odd week that was, and it seems like a while ago now at this point, although it's not going away, it's still there. But I was kind of glad that of all things last week our focus was on orphans. And maybe reminding us a little bit that there are bigger arguments in this world than our political ones. But I thought maybe this morning we would look a little bit at who we are to be and how we are to be with each other and how we can work together. Now, you may not know this because maybe we don't repeat it as much as we need to, but about a year ago now, we settled in on these words, maybe 2 years ago now, we've settled in on these action words that kind of describe what we do as a church. And they are growing, working, sharing together. Growing in the sense that I hope that the you that sits there today is not exactly the same as the you that became a Christian whenever that happened. Now, if you've not yet become a Christian, I hope you'll understand that there's some growth that comes after that. It's not just a step you take and then everything else kind of remains the same. There's a maturing, a growing that goes on. And we learn about that a lot in Scripture. And then there is working, which is if we take on Christ and we are going to live this life, then there is something to it. There's something we must do. There are things that we must change in our attitudes and our actions, in the things that we do and work that must be done. And sharing in the sense that we now have a message that is to be shared. And I will challenge you in the coming week of sales. In the coming week of Cyber Monday through Black Friday, and it will only be a matter of time before we have named Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to something. But there's this week of sales, and you will talk about it. And you will share, and you will talk about the great deals you got. I can still remember the best Black Friday deal I ever got, and it was just such a huge thing and such a great deal, and I thought, I told all kinds of people about that, but do I share the things that really matter? So we're growing and we're working and we're sharing, and then we understand that as Christians, life is to be done together, which is why we're here. Now, I think Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us a lot about what it is to work together as Christians. Starting in verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The day of the Lord is coming, and that is something that is going to be the same for all of us. In America, we put it this way, there are two things you can count on, death and taxes. Okay, and in the Christian world, death is one of those things that we know that comes along, and with that comes the day of the Lord. And whether that comes before or after we leave this earth, Jesus is going to come back. Now, for the folks here in 1 Thessalonians, I think they expected it to happen a lot sooner than it does. I don't think they thought people would be talking about this still 2,000 years later. I think they thought they might see it, or if they didn't see it, maybe their kids would see it. But I don't think they thought it would take anywhere near this long. It was a very immediate thing to them. To us, I don't know that we think of it as immediate. I think a lot of us just assume we're going to live out life, and either we'll get to retirement or whatever might take us before then, but we probably won't see the day when Jesus comes back here on earth. Now, I don't know why we think that. Maybe it's just because generations have come and gone, and here we are. But that's kind of where our mindset is. So he's not going to talk about the times and the dates, but what he is going to talk about is the fact that this is something that comes for everybody. You cannot avoid this. You cannot take a do-over. You cannot take a time out. You cannot pretend it's not there. It is coming for all of us. But you, brothers and sisters, and we talk about it, it's a thief in the night the way it comes. You, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness. So that this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. We are children of light. And if you are not a Christian or you're not a churchgoer, throughout Scripture, there is a reminder that comes around several times about the differences between darkness and light. We have a different attitude about darkness and light, don't we? Different way we feel about our safety in those places. Different way we feel about whether there are places we should go or not go. I took my older son to a Trailblazers Celtics game last year. We rode the train up from Eugene. We got to Portland. We walked about two blocks to a light rail station that took us over to the arena. And I remember in doing some of that walking and looking around at the setting I was in, thinking to myself, should I have brought my child here? Should I have just driven my car and found a garage and hoped for the best maybe instead of walking where I'm walking right now? Because some interesting characters out here. I don't know what all's going on around me. I remember getting off the train and walking to the first light rail station, and there was a guy walking down the street just yelling at the top of his lungs at no one in particular. And I thought, that's interesting. And I realized a couple of things. One, it was still light when we were going to the arena. And already in my mind, I was thinking to myself, it's not going to be light when we leave the arena. It's going to be dark when we leave the arena. And I've got to walk those blocks again with my firstborn. And is that going to be okay? And then I realized something in the midst of all of that, which is when we left the arena, everyone else was leaving the arena with us. My son, the Celtics fan, I have no idea why, you can talk to him about that, wearing his Celtics shirt, the Celtics lost, he was sad, but at least we weren't a target because the Celtics lost and everybody else was happy. And I thought to myself, as we leave in this drove of people, we're okay. Part of being the children of light is the fact that we are all in this light together. We're not alone in this. And so when we try to combat the darkness, when we try to be something different, when it's just you out there by yourself, it's noticeable and it's heroic in a lot of ways, but it's not the way God designed this to happen. Even sending his son into the world, his son surrounded himself with people, people that were on the same mission. So we are the children of light. So then, okay, because we know the day of the Lord is coming, we know there is darkness, we know there is light, we're trying to be children of light. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Let us be aware in any number of ways. One, of what's going on around us. Okay, I was more aware of what was going on around me, walking that two blocks or three blocks, whatever it was, in downtown Portland with my child there, than I am when I'm walking through Walmart. Walking through Walmart, I'm just kind of on a mission to get my whatever it is I need and get out of there and move on with life. Walking here, I want to know everything that's going on around me. I want to be aware of my surroundings. I want to be aware if somebody's coming from behind. I want to be aware of what's happening in that alley over there. And we are to be people who are walking through life aware, partly of the dangers, which we're warned of here, I think, but also partly of the opportunities that come our way. How many times do people come into our lives that we can affect with this story, and we just don't think about it that way? We don't see them as an opportunity for the gospel. We don't see them as people that God has designed. We don't see them as people that God cares about and loves and would like a relationship with and would like us to help arrange that. We just kind of see them as background or don't notice at all. So be aware. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Okay, not only are we together as people, as a church, God wants us to be together with him. In our adult Bible class, we talked about this idea this morning, that if you look through the Old Testament, what you will find is a people who are told by God the way that they ought to live, and oftentimes for their own good, not even things that God wants and God demands. He's telling them things that will make their lives better. And they instead look at the world around them and look at the nations around them and say, we'd actually rather do it that way. And God is not content to say, well, fine, just go then. You go do your own thing and I'll find other people and we'll just be done with this. God wants to be together with us. God wants to be together with you. If you're visiting this morning and church is not normally something that you do, I truly believe God brought you here this morning for a purpose. Excellent preaching. I'm sure that's probably what it is. God brought you here this morning for a reason. Whether it's to connect with somebody, whether it's maybe to hear something that plugs in your mind for just a moment, whether it's to spend time with family, whatever it might be, you are here instead of somewhere else today because this is where God would like for you to be. Because God wants a relationship with you. And if you get nothing else from this morning, let that resound in your head for a while. Because if you don't have a relationship with Him, it's not because He doesn't want one. He will chase after you until the day of the Lord that we mentioned at the beginning comes. He is not content to be without you. He wants a relationship with you. Therefore, okay, so because of everything we've looked at to this point, the day of the Lord is coming. There's darkness and light. He wants us in the light. He wants us together there. He wants us together with Him. Therefore, because of all this, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another and build each other up. This, by the way, encourage would have been the fifth word if we had done five instead of four. Now, if we were good at this, let me rephrase that. If we are as good at this as we should be, we couldn't fit people in this room. Because if this were that an encouraging place to be, everybody would want to be here. Now, I'm not just convicting us, by the way. There are lots of churches around this town this morning with empty pews and empty chairs. If we were known for being a place that encourages and building and builds people up, that's contagious. People like to be around that kind of thing. And think about it. Think about in your own circle of friends. You have friends that are negative and critical. You have friends that are positive and smile and are happy. And even though occasionally you do not understand what makes those happy people tick, you like to be around them. You don't want more negativity in your life because that's not hard to find. And so he begins here with the idea of, because of all of this, let us be people who encourage. Now, I will break it to you, especially if you're visiting with us this morning. We're still people. We are not perfect people who are smiling all the time and always say the right thing. We will occasionally still mess this up. Some of us more than others. We're just people like you. But this is what we are trying to do. And so when we look at something and there are two ways to see it, we want to find a way to encourage through that instead of just being critical through it. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Acknowledge those who work hard among you, okay? I did not plan this way. I did not know this would be our first several rows this morning. That man is probably the hardest worker I've ever met. And I love that my kids get to see what he does. Because honestly, he works way harder than I do. Now, I try. And sometimes he makes me feel bad, not on purpose. But I come in and he's doing something. And I think, should I sit in my office and study for Sunday or should I go tear a tree down or something with Roy? Because he's working so hard and I feel like, you know, My hands are not dirty. We acknowledge the hard work that we see among us. And by the way, she's not terribly far behind in different ways. Acknowledge the good that you see, which is to say, we can see good and say nothing, or we can see good and prop it up. We can see hard work, we can see encouragement, and we can point it out. The church I came from, we had a children's church kind of like what's meeting right now, and they had this thing that they gave to adults around the church, these little cards, and they said, if you see kids at this church doing something good without being pushed to do it, write it down, and we want to mention it in the children's church time. You want to see a kid's face light up? Some adult noticed they were holding the door for people. Some adult noticed that one of our elderly ladies dropped something and they picked it up and handed it back. Some adult noticed that they had the guts to get up and lead a prayer, whatever it was. I hate to tell you this, we don't grow out of that when we leave Children's Church. We still love that. We still love it when something good is being done and it is noticed. And let us be people who do that instead of people who notice the thing is wrong. Because everybody already notices that. Everybody notices when something is just not so. Let's be the people that encourage, the people that build up, the people that acknowledge good. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Now, my younger child, Nathan, when he was a little bit smaller, he had spelling words every week. And you can remember back to these days, wasn't life so much easier when it was just about if you could spell things or not? He had spelling words each week, and the way this teacher one year arranged the spelling words, she would have the 10 or 15 that they were supposed to do that were part of their curriculum, and then she would say, if there are three more words that you would like to learn how to spell and learn what they mean, those are your extra three words. And Nathan would bring these papers home every week with the normal things that kids his age should know, and then words that were like this long. And everything he wanted to learn to spell or learn what it meant was huge. And so he came home one day with a paper that had subcutaneous on it. And he was probably 8, 9, something like that. Came home with this paper that said subcutaneous. And part of the learning of the word was to spell it, and part of the learning of the word was to use it in a sentence. And on his paper, it said, the child was subcutaneous. That was the sentence he came up with, to use it in a sentence. And it was checked wrong. And he was very upset that it was checked wrong because he thought it was right. And we said, why do you think this is right, Nathan? And he looked at my wife and he said, Mom, do you remember a couple years ago when you said, I get under your skin? Now, for those who have learned a new vocabulary this morning, subcutaneous is something beneath the skin. And so the child was subcutaneous. Now, why all of that? There are some subcutaneous folks among us. Occasionally it can be me. Not very often, but occasionally it can be me too. We get under each other's skin from time to time. And what Paul would tell us here is, okay, there are times when that happens that needs to be corrected. And the way he puts it, interestingly enough, is the idle and the disruptive. So you've got the folks that are doing nothing, and you've got the folks that are doing something, but they're not doing something that is worthwhile to what we're trying to do. Which is part of why we have those action words, to remind us of these are the things the church does. This is what we do. And it's easy for us to forget that sometimes. You've got the idle and the disruptive, then you've got the disheartened. Sometimes life is tough, and we get down about things. And sometimes those things are reasonable. Sometimes those things are our football teams. Any number of things get us down, and sometimes we just get disheartened. And then be patient. So warn those who need warning, encourage those who need to be encouraged, help those who need help, and most of all, be patient through all of it, because all of us will find ourselves most likely in each of these categories at some point. And what we will want from those around us is patience. So let's give that same patience to each other. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Always strive to do what is good. There are options that are neutral. There are options that are bad. There are options that are good. And I think a lot of times, if you're like me, you feel pretty good when you make your way all the way to neutral. You can leave the cynicism and the negativity and all of that and just make it to neutral. But God doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say in the New Testament, tolerate your enemies, put up with your enemies. He says, love your enemies. Do what is good in every circumstance. Not just okay, and definitely not the bad, but do what is good. And then he closes this section this way, and I think it's the key to all of it. Rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you came this morning wondering, I wonder what God's will for me is, Seems kind of complicated. We have a hard time figuring that out. And usually we think of it in terms of what I'm supposed to do for God. But so many times God puts that back in our court and says, what about what you're doing for everybody else? And he puts it this way, rejoice always. You have plenty of reasons to not rejoice. Can you instead find the good in those circumstances and rejoice always? And secondly, pray continually. Now, why are these things right here together? Because sometimes if you're going to rejoice always, you might need to be in prayer quite a bit about that because you don't have the strength to do it on your own. You're frustrated. You want things to be easier. You're tired of things being difficult. And God would say to you, rejoice. And if you're struggling with the rejoicing, talk to me about it. Pray. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. And we're coming into that time in our country where this is what we talk about on Thursday. And it's interesting to me that the way we go about celebrating giving thanks is we bring all of the family in. No offense, guys, but sometimes when we bring all the family in, doesn't that elevate the tension a little bit? I mean, we love those people. But man, when everybody is crammed in under a roof together and we're all trying to get along and share bathrooms and all of those things, it just gets kind of tense. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. If I have everything going right, can I be thankful? It's a lot easier then. If a lot of things are going wrong, can I be thankful? A little more of a challenge, but the thankfulness is still there. And I would challenge you that as you think of your prayers, as we're rejoicing and we're having prayer, how much of your prayer is positive and thankfulness to God? Because God has done an awful lot for us, even in times that we think are difficult. And it's interesting to me that this is how it's described, God's will for us. God cares about the fact that we interact in one way or another. And he would like for that interaction to be good rather than bad. And he would like for the example of that good to begin here. We interact with each other in a good way, and then we take that out of here and we interact with our world in a good way. And so this morning, if you think to yourself, well, if that's what church is supposed to be, I would have done that a long time ago. We're still trying to. And we're not perfect by any means, but that's the direction we are attempting to go. And if you want to be a part of that, we would love to see you be a part of that. This morning, if you have not been baptized into Christ, we would love to start your Thanksgiving week in that way, because there is not a whole lot to be more thankful for than the fact that we've been redeemed. That the fact that we have a salvation that waits out there for us if we're just willing to accept it. This morning, if you have taken that on and you think to yourself, I have let too many folks get subcutaneous. There's too many people getting under my skin and I've got to change my attitude about that. Then let's do that. Let's, instead of praying for their attitudes to change and for their hearts to change and for them to see things our way, let's start praying a little bit for our attitudes toward them. And if that's something that we can pray for you about as a church, we're happy to do that too. If you have any needs at all this morning, please come while we stand and sing.